Go ahead and turn to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll bow once again. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you again, thanking you for this honor and privilege to be in your house, to be with your people, to be in your presence together. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that we could take heed to your word, and that we could be made better for your word. Even as I try to preach your message, I pray that you would lead every word that comes out of my mouth, that it could be a blessing to us, an instruction, good instruction, that we could be doers and not just hearers only. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless the many requests mentioned here tonight. You know every one, every burden upon every heart, even those maybe that couldn't be here tonight due to sickness. We pray that you'd bless in a special way there. We ask, dear Lord, you'd especially touch the hearts of those that are sin sick, lost. We pray you'd have mercy upon them and open their eyes, Lord, that they could see clearly. But, Lord, as you convict their heart, I pray that they would be whosoever will. They'd be willing to trust you. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to deal with their heart and be long-suffering to them, that they would find you precious to their soul. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the men sent out from this church. We thank you for them, Brother Allen, Brother Brandon, their families. We thank you for their ministry. We pray you'd bless them, even that we could rejoice with them in the giving and the receiving part. Lord, that we could receive good word, that souls are being saved and saved are being encouraged and strengthened. We pray that you would bless your work the world over. Lord, as dark as this world is, and it seems like each day it gets a little darker, I pray that we would see a need, an urgent need, to shine our light even brighter. Let our light so shine before others. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless here at Clear Branch. We thank you so much for a good church, good people that are devout at heart. We pray that you'd help us continue to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will. I'm so thankful that the Lord allows anyone to be saved. You know, I'm trying to, as I preach this message, I know I'm at Clear Branch, and I know that we've been taught that all of our life. But ain't you glad that it's whosoever will, that it's not just for the rich or just for the poor? You know, Brother Mike, if he'd have said only the rich could be saved, most of us probably been left out. You know, if he'd have said salvation going to cost you $1 million, some of us would, we'd work the rest of our life trying to get there and may or may not make it. You know, even if we accumulated every penny, still might not get there. And so if he'd have said 10 million, that may cut every one of us out. But then you ask the question, well, how valuable is salvation? It's priceless. How could you put a price on salvation? And so I'm glad he didn't. Brother Jake, he said it's free. Free gift. I'm going to give it to you. Whosoever will. If you'll believe, I'll give you salvation. And I'm thankful it's that way. And it's not just to the poor. Oh, there's some people that are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And they can't help that either. You know, and not that they might not want to help it, but some people are just born with rich. And so it's not just for the poor. I'm glad he didn't say it's just for a certain race of people. You know, what if he'd have said it's only for the colored people? Salvation only for colored people. Well, that would rule us out. Or if he'd have said, well, it's just for white folks. You know, or just from some other race. You think about that, and if God had said it that way, then there'd be a certain way we would look at God and say, God, that's not fair. I can't help how I was born. I can't help that I was born a Gentile. Can't help that.
I can't help that I was born white. And so it's not fair that you cut out a certain race of people. So God made salvation available to everyone, whosoever will. And you know, it's not just to the religious folks or to the outlaws. You know, all my life I've been raised up. Somebody would say, well, you were raised up very religious. And that's the case. All my life I have went to a Baptist church. Probably almost born in a Baptist church. Really, I've always went to a Baptist church. And, you know, there's a time whenever my daddy kind of, he looked at some other religions and kind of began to study with other people. And some might have been Church of God and some were Pentecostal. And there's a lot of that you know, I didn't understand. And yet I can say, well, I was born very religious. And I'm glad he didn't say only the outlaws get saved. Hey, some people, you know, you hear a testimony, they talk about the good testimony of how that they were in drugs and alcohol and all these other things, and well, God brought them out of it, and how beautiful that testimony it is, and it is a beautiful testimony. It's also a beautiful testimony if you never got into it in the first place. That's a beautiful testimony. And so God is merciful to all of us. And yet, you know, you say, well, Brother Brad, again, we're at Clear Branch. Yes, this is important because many today are courting the idea, or either they're fully submerged in the lie that God predestinates everything. And instead of this saying, whosoever will, it should read, whosoever he chooses. And I say, you know, some are courting the idea because there's some that sit on Baptist pews that say, God just will not save me. And if that's the case, then He has predestinated that. That He has made up, He has determined that. And that's not what Scripture says. He has not just determined that some are going to die lost. And some are going to get saved. And some are going to figure it all out. And some are going to remain ignorant to salvation. Whosoever will believe. And He made that in such a way, Brother Freddie, that a child can believe. He made it so easy that someone without an education can trust Jesus. He made it so easy that someone with a great education can trust Jesus. Or someone that's rich or poor or black or white or whoever, whosoever will. Whenever I got saved, I was very, very young. And I didn't know very much about anything. But I tell you what, when the Lord showed me I was lost and hell got hold upon me, I trusted Jesus as a young kid. And that's not hard. That's not something that's, you know, out of your reach. If you're hearing you're lost, that's not out of your reach. You can believe if you want to. So, whosoever will. And you know, we do find the doctrine predestination. We find the word predestinate or predestinated in Scripture at least four times. And, you know, God has predestinated some things in His divine will. I'm glad that that's the case. I want you to listen to me real close. I don't want somebody to leave out here and say, Brother Brad, preach predestination. Oh, but I guess in a way I will. But not for salvation. You can get saved if you want to be saved. You can be saved if you're willing to believe. But God has predestinated some things, and I'm thankful that He has. We shall meet Him in the air. Nothing's going to stop that. There's no way that that's going to mess up. It's already been predetermined. We have Scripture, and God, and this is what I want you to hear tonight if you don't hear anything else. God is going to always do things to honor His Word. Always. There's never going to come a point where God's Word no longer makes sense, or God's Word has been proven wrong. His word will always make sense and it will always be the truth. And only God has the ability to do that because He has predetermined some things. You know, I will walk on a street of gold at some point. I've never done that before. I've never seen transparent gold. Never seen that before. I will one day. Like gold, like transparent glass that you can see through. One day I'll see that. One day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Nothing can delay that. Nothing can alter that course. My salvation is sealed until the day of redemption. I can't mess that up. And so, God, He has a will and it will not be altered. He will take the devil and He's going to throw him in a pit for 1,000 years. There's coming a 7-year tribulation. Nothing is going to prevent that. It will happen. And yet, He can permit you to make some choices. Even bad choices. And that still stays intact with His divine will. Now, Brother Buddy, as you talk Sunday school this morning, you talk about how there's some things that's beyond what our minds are able to comprehend. What I'm trying to preach tonight, that's where we are. That's the realm we're in right now. Is really there's some things that you've just got to see by faith. You've got to accept. And yet, whosoever will means, Brother Mike, it means I have a choice. It means that if I want to, I can be saved. It means if I'm willing to believe, I will be saved. And nothing can prevent that. Nothing can. I have a choice. And you do too. And man, we go all the way back to the beginning. Man was given a choice to leave the fruit alone. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He could leave it alone or he could partake of it. But he was told, do not take the fruit. That was a choice that he had. He had free will to take that fruit or not to take the fruit. And yet the moment that he took that fruit and he ate it, there was already a plan in place. And Peter, he kind of elaborated on that just a little bit in the book of Acts. Whenever he was being scolded by those that crucified the Lord. And they said, you're drunk. He said, we're not drunk, seeing it's the third hour of the day. We're just here preaching the word. We're here because of the man that you crucified. He let them know they crucified him, that they chose to do that. And he let them know that they crucified the one that was delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It means God already knew about it. He had already determined it. There was a council that was together. God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost got together and they determined Jesus would be delivered. And so we see that throughout the life of the Lord. We see Him. They would have taken him, threw him headlong off a cliff, and Bible said he just went right, parted between their midst because his time had not come. His time had been determined. He would go to the cross, and yet he had a choice, didn't he? He surrendered in the garden of Gethsemane. But God knew he would. Okay, so things predetermined. And yet, somebody said, well, Brother Brad, preaching predestination, it not for salvation, and I want you to understand, you always have a choice in what you do. You have a choice tonight. You can leave this church and go to the beer joint and get drunk if you want to. That's your choice. Or you can go home and get in your bed and get up and go to work. That's your choice. And yet God knows what you're going to do because He's foreknowledge. So at this point, that's what I want to introduce is for us to understand predestination, we have to look at foreknowledge. God is able to determine things because of His foreknowledge. Look back at Genesis 22, and yes, I've preached from this verse several times already, but
This is on my heart. It has been throughout today. Genesis. In chapter 22. Isaac asked his father, Abraham, as they go into what God had commanded Abraham, you take Isaac and you offer him for a burnt offering upon a mountain. And Isaac is walking with his father, holding the firewood. And he notices something. He looks around, he notices, he says, Hey, Daddy. I'm just talking in my language here. It's not exactly word for word. Hey, Daddy, we got the firewood, and we've got the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And this is key because he says God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's key because Abraham knew that Isaac was the promised son. He knew that it was through him all the world would be blessed. He knew that through him, his seed would be as the sands of the sea. And he didn't know how that was going to happen, or what God was going to do, or how God was going to do it, but he clinged to a promise that God made him. We can only do that because God knows what he's doing. We can cling to promises God made because once he makes them, he is bound by his word to keep them. And so he knew, even as he held the knife up and would have slain his son, that he had that kind of faith in God that don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm going to do what he says until he changes his mind. If I believe he felt like if I had killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. But he stops him. God stops him. And then he looks up, and there's a ram caught in a thicket. And God knew that ram was going to be there. Matter of fact, Brother Jake, God put the ram in the thicket, and God put the thicket on the mountain. And only God knew about that, and he brought it together at the right time so that he could honor his word. That, to me, is absolutely beautiful. Genesis 22, verse 13. Now Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God did what he said he was going to do. He didn't know how, but he just knew he would. Well, if we could have that kind of faith in God today, wouldn't that be wonderful? If we could trust that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. This was the pinnacle in Scripture. I mean, this is one of the high points in Scripture. This is where the father of faith exercises that great faith. This is really where a nation is born. And this is God's power on display. He must come through. He has to. And he does. And he already had a plan in place to make sure it got done. That ram caught there. God raised a special ram and a special briar patch for that reason. Okay? That was predetermined, wasn't it? So his divine will would remain intact. Okay? He does know the choices we are going to make. And he has the power to arrange things accordingly. Now, I think about how he chose Abraham over Lot. He knew the choices Abraham was going to. If he'd have chose Lot to carry his nation and make a nation through Lot, Lot would have been over there bumping elbows with Sodomites, wouldn't he? Calling them brethren. God knew he couldn't use Lot. He knew the same thing about Jacob over Esau. And he chose, Let's back up and let's look at those two just a minute. Jacob was a tent dweller. Esau was a deer hunter. Which one would you rather hang out with? Be honest. Yeah, I mean, which one? While Esau's out working in the yard, he's out deer hunting, he's out bringing venison home, Jacob's sitting in the tent watching TV. I don't know what he's doing. He's not watching TV, but he's sitting in the tent. And yet God knew both of their hearts, and he knew which one that he needed to bring his nation through, didn't he? So he uses Jacob. Without his foreknowledge, God's will would have made shipwreck a long time ago. Without God's foreknowledge, this would have been obsolete a long time ago because there had been some mistakes made. God knows the end from the beginning. And so he's able to set some things in place so that we will. Every promise he's ever made to us will be fulfilled. Free will gives meaning to man. Without free will, really, there's no way to be a child of God. We could be a creation of God. We could be a robot of God. But we couldn't be a child of God without free will. You can't love without free will. You can't. Like you can be programmed to do certain things, but you can't love without free will. So God allows us free will to make all the choices we want to make. You can make just about any choice you want to make. God understands that, and he's able to arrange some things. So his plan will arrive on mark, and it will arrive on schedule. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. How can that happen? God has to know some things, don't he? He has to be able to arrange some things in certain ways so that all things work together for good, them that love the Lord. Bible says that if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay. Ain't that encouraging? Well, how can God do that? God, he's going to arrange it. He's going to honor his word. You hear so many times people say, well, you can't outgive the Lord. That's where we get it from, by the way. You can't outgive the Lord. You can give and give and give. God's going to make sure he returns it somehow, some way. It's a promise. And he will arrange things in a way that will honor his word. Now, as a teenager, I chose a bad path for, I don't know, 5-6 years of my life. I chose a pretty bad path, a dark path. I was heading the wrong direction. And the Lord began to, he sent me warnings. He convicted my heart. He let me suffer some consequences of my actions. But all the while, he was working on me. And he works things in such a way that my heart was convicted. I chose to repent and turn from the way that I was heading. And he arranged some things to prepare me for ministry. I can look back over my life and see where God arranged things to prepare me to stand here today. I can tell you my wife, God worked on her end to arrange things in her life in such a way that she compliments me in this ministry, and many times she carries it. And only God can do that. But he allowed me to make some choices. Some of them were some very dumb choices. Some of them are some choices that I'm absolutely ashamed of. But he also worked out some grace. He worked out some mercy. And he put some things in my path that I saw, and I said, you know what, I need to turn around. I don't need to keep going in this direction. So if you're here and you're lost tonight, I want you to understand something. You have a choice to repent and trust Jesus. You also have a choice to walk away and remain lost. Does he know which choice you're going to make? Absolutely, he knows that. well, then he's letting me. Bible said it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's his will. But then again, will all come to repentance? Will all get saved? No. So what's God doing? He's allowing you to make some choices. Well, but that's not his will. It's his will that you repent. But he will allow you to walk away. Well, does that not alter his grand plan? He's already set a thing in place from the very beginning. He's already set a plan in place for those that will not believe. But whosoever wants, those who choose not to trust Jesus, he's set a plan in place for them as well. This hell has enlarged itself because of those that were unbelievers. Well, God made me that way. No, nobody's going to blame it on God. Whosoever will. Whosoever will believeth in Jesus, they will be saved. Shall be saved. As I hear the jailer, he asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's God's word, and he has done everything he needs to do to honor it. And if you'll believe it, he'll honor it to you. You'll see. In your own life, you'll see he'll honor his word. But you have to believe. We'll ask for a song.